Hello and welcome back to Podcast Walk of Faith. I'm your host, Solomon. So today we're going to talk about a topic that is so dear to me, a topic that is so personal to me, a topic that I believe and know heaven is also invested so much in it. Today we're going to talk about salvation. I'm going to talk about what salvation is. I'm going to share my experience in salvation and I'm going to share a few scriptures here and there to bring your mind and your heart to a place of understanding. Okay? Number one, we can never talk about walking in faith without being born again, without being a newborn Christian, without being saved by the power of Jesus Christ. So basically, the first fundamental thing as a Christian is to get Christ, to be born again, you know. And perhaps some people might ask, what does it mean? What does salvation mean? You know, basically from Oxford definition about salvation, it means to be protected from harm, loss, or destruction, you know, to guard yourself from imminent danger that may eventually occur. So one thing about God loved us so much. He loved human beings so much. He loved the world so much that even when you go through scripture from Genesis to Revelation, the whole concept and idea is about salvation. There's nowhere, no story, no character in the Bible that God has used greatly, if not being used for the purpose of salvation of men. He has always sought to have this connection with men, to always have a place where he can reconcile with men after the fall, you know, from the Garden of Eden. So we see God always developing plan, contingency plan for man, you know, for salvation. We see even from Genesis, the time when Adam had sinned, we see God coming back to the garden and looking for them, like, Adam, where are you? Why are you not in the place that I had assigned you? And you see Adam being afraid and being filled with guilt, telling God, I'm naked and all that. And we get to understand that even despite Adam doing that one thing that God had advised him not to do, God was still like, you know what? It's okay. We can still fix this. So he bring all this contingent plan to contain man still. Even in his weakness, he still had a plan to contain man. We see God using Moses for the children of Israel. We see likes of Elijah. We see likes of David. We see like of Jacob. We see like of Abraham. All in the purpose of reconciliation of man. When you come to the New Testament now, it's a whole wider perspective of it. We see likes of Paul. You know, we see the likes of John, the disciples. We see Christ himself. You know, that's how this issue of salvation is so dear to God. That he even had, you know what, he was like, tried it before. He tried it with the law, he tried it with the commandment, you know, to bring man to a place of reconciliation, but it still wasn't working. So it was like, it reached a point God was like, you know what, now let me bring my only begotten son, that is Jesus Christ. That's where we see Jesus Christ coming in the New Testament, just for salvation, just to save man. That's how much God loved man. That's how much God is so in need of you to have that personal, intimate relationship with him. And this thing you can't have unless you're born again. We see in the New Testament, in John chapter 3, I believe, where Nicodemus, one of the greatest teachers, but then, you know, approaching Jesus, asking, Master, what is this about salvation? How can someone be born again? Jesus being bold and telling him, you know, I tell you, no one can come to the Father. No one can inherit the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So it doesn't matter what you do on earth. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter the good deeds. Unless you're born again, that is the only ticket to heaven. That is the only ticket to this eternal life we're talking about. So how does salvation come about? Salvation in John, when you read John 3:3, Bible says, verily, verily, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. This is just Jesus emphasizing about, he was talking to Nicodemus at this time, emphasizing about salvation. And when you go back, this verse that we all know, most of us know, you know, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The key thing about salvation is all about belief. Unless you believe, that is the first thing you have to do, believing. And the Bible is so clear. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter the position you are, it doesn't matter how fallen you are, it doesn't matter. As long as you believe John 3:16, whosoever believes, whosoever, anyone. There's one thing I've come to understand in my walk of salvation, in my walk of faith. There is nothing that you've done that you will ever do will ever separate you from the love of God. We find it in Romans 8:35-39. Paul was saying this: nothing shall separate you from the love of God. So it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter the extent of sin, it doesn't matter everything you've done in your fallen nature, it doesn't matter. He's able to forgive. You know, Paul says in 1 Timothy, I believe chapter 1 to 12 to 17 there, Paul was saying, was boasting of this salvation that he has received. He was boasting of the grace that God has given him. You know, he was saying that even I, Paul, I was a chief sinner. You know, Paul was that one person who used to persecute Christians. He used to kill Christians for their belief every day. That was his work. You know, just wake up, look where Christians are, where people are worshiping the name of God. Paul goes there, he kills everyone. That was his work every day. But the day when he had this encounter with Christ, and we see God transforming Paul slowly from Saul to Paul slowly, he has put measures, he put people in place for Paul. Till now in the New Testament, 60% of what we read, 60% about Christianity, 60% of everything we learn today about Christianity, about God, about, you know, how to conduct ourselves as Christian, Paul writes it. He's one person who was the chief sinner, as he refers to himself. Let me read that. Is 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. Paul is talking about how he is now transformed, how he has now been given a new lease of life by God, how he's now a steward by grace, you know, how he's now you know, talking about salvation, talking about transformation of people and all that. Let me just get that specific verse that I wanted to read for you. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, the saying is sure and true and worthy of full and universal acceptance, that Jesus Christ the Messiah came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost, of whom I am the first. The believe NIV says, of whom I am the chief sinner. But I obtain mercy for the reason that in me, as the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might show forth and display all his perfect long suffering and patience for an example to encourage those who would thereafter believe on him for the gaining of the eternal life. So one thing you need to know, one thing you need to understand as a Christian, or one thing you need to understand as a human being, because God has always wanted to maintain his relationship with you. That has always been his sole purpose, to maintain his relationship with you, you know, to fulfill his goal for man, to fulfill the promises he gave man, to fulfill all that he had intended, he had purposed in his heart for you. And one thing I'll tell you, one thing that I know about Christianity, about salvation, that I need you to always remember: he loved you first. Not just know he loved you first. He loved you first. He loved you to create you in the first place. He loved you to preserve you this long. Now we see people, we know people who have died before this message of salvation has even gotten into them. They have never heard about this salvation. They have died without knowing. One thing I need you to understand right now as you listen to me, that God has loved you this much to even preserve you up to now, to keep you up to now, just for you to receive this message about salvation. And if you're listening to me, this is not a coincidence. Just know this is not a coincidence. This is how he wanted you to know him. This is how he had intended you to learn about salvation. This is how he has intended you to learn about faith, how to walk in righteousness, how to walk in truth, how to walk in spirit. I've never woken up in my life any day and been convicted otherwise of the love of God. That is one thing I need you to always, always put in your heart, of how much he loves you, of how much he loved you, of how much you mean to him, that even after the law failed, even after the commandment failed, he still had to bring his only begotten son Jesus to be crucified, to bear all your burden, to bear your sin, so that these consequences of sin that was initially announced in Genesis, the consequences of sin that God had initially put in place, that it won't come to you. That's why he brought Jesus, that you won't have to be judged for your sin no more, that you won't have to be judged for your fallen nature no more, that you won't have to go through judgment. He brought Jesus for you. He saw how heavy and severe this burden of sin was, and how it was destroying men, and how it was moving men far from him, and his heart got touched. The Bible says that we do not have a high priest who isn't touched with our infirmities. God is always touched. He's always touched. He's always concerned about you. He's always concerned about our status. When you read Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, let me just read it for you. Come, let me paraphrase it and then read. Come, let us reason. Let us reason together. That is the state where God had to come, had to, you know, to bring himself just to have a conversation with man. He's ready to have that conversation. He's ready to have that one-on-one with you. He's saying, come now. This is Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like a wool. Come, let's reason. That's what God wants. Come. It doesn't matter what you've done. Come. You've killed. Come. You've told lies. Come. You've masturbated. You are into sexual immorality. You are into all sort of perversion. Come. 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 In fact, for me, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 is something that has always melted my heart. Every time that I found myself in a place where I feel I'm falling short of the glory of God, I'm reminded of Isaiah. Come, come, come. Let's reason. Let's talk about it. What is it that you've done? What is it? What is it? What is it you've done? Are you into perversion? Are you into adultery? Are you into immorality? Are you into lies, stealing, all sort of sin? Come, come. Let's sit down. That's how much God is dearly invested in you. So dearly invested in you that he wants to just have that one conversation with you. Let's reason. He wants to reason with you. What is it? What is it that you've done? He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. He's always touched by our infirmities. He's always touched. He's always concerned. We talk about he lived the 99. For you, Jesus Christ died for you and me. For you who are listening to me, and you know you haven't been born again. You know you haven't accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life. He died for you. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned. All of us have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one is righteous, but there is a way to righteousness. There is a way to make your way right. There is a way. It starts by just believing. Salvation is about believing. Whosoever believe, just believe in your heart. Believe in your heart that God is the Savior. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Savior of your soul. Whosoever believes. The Bible says whosoever. Anyone. Don't ever allow anyone to tell you otherwise. Don't ever listen to those people criticizing you, judging you. God doesn't judge you. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like judging his people. That's why he has put all these things, all these measures in place for you. You know, doesn't want to see you suffer. Doesn't want to see you go to hell. He doesn't. That is not in him. It's not in him. It's not in him. God is love. He loved you. He loved you. He loved you so much, so much, so dearly that he wants to have a connection with you. He wants to have a connection with you. He wants to have a conversation with you. He wants to connect back to you. He wants to have that perfect plan that he has always wanted to have with you. The Bible says in Jeremiah that I know the plan I have for you. Plan for good, to give you a future, a hope, and an expected end. He has that plan. It's there. But the minute you're not in connection with him, the minute you're not intimate with him, the minute you are derailed from his ways, you can't experience these plans. You will never really fully to know what your purpose is in life. You will never really live fully to understand what you are created to do if you are not in line with his purpose. If you're not in line with him, that is the only way. That is the only way. That is the only way you live your purpose. That is the only way you will know. By first having a relationship with him. Don't ever be deceived. Without this, without Jesus in your life, there's no eternal life. And this is your time. Perhaps someone is asking, how do I develop this connection with Jesus? How do I reconnect back to him? How do I start this journey? Where do I start? What am I supposed to do now that I've known what salvation is? Now that I've known Jesus lived for me, died for me. Now that I've known God loves me, where do I go? How do I start? Well, the Bible is so clear. In Romans 10 verse 9, but if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Start by confession of your mouth. And that is not just enough. Confessing is not enough. And you believing in your heart. Believing in your heart. Believing in your heart. So I want to help that one person who wants to get born again right now. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come before you. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that I've wronged. I thank you for bringing Jesus Christ to die for my sin. I accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for bringing Jesus to die for me. Amen. Just like that, you're born again. It's all about confession, accepting Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. That's when you're born again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. I'll share my story about salvation in the next episode and the things that I've encountered. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome to Christianity. You're born again.